Cameo Radio.
Today, I'm happy to bring you a live recording of an interview I was very fortunate to get with some ladies putting together a craft caravan leaving Victoria on April 18th on their way to the summit in Prince George on 420. That's April 20th, 2024.
Hi!
Yay!
Sure, I'm Mama Dean, director with BC Craft Farmers Co-op.
I'm Michelle Coswell. I own Count Canna, and I'm a supporter of the BC Craft Farmers Co-op.
I'm Tara Kirkpatrick. I'm the president of the BC Craft Farmers Co-op and also a microcultivator.
We were lucky to meet up last night and had a snack and a quick chat, and you ladies have been up to some really interesting things. From platform development to complete innovation of cannabis industry, but that's also fiber.
Yes.
And that's a taboo topic, isn't it? Cannabis is such a taboo topic in the world of business, banking, and big commerce.
It is. So wild. I love the word taboo because, yeah, the looks you receive and you don't know whether or not to even say the word cannabis. And here it's legalized and has been for over 5 years.
Right. And yeah. It's still taboo.
Yeah.
Which is just bizarre. So you're headed down to talk to some people in the city, but you can't use the word cannabis. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
You know what? There's just such a stigma and misunderstanding about the fact that cannabis is legal. Our government decided, Health Canada decided, we came together, we decided that this is a product that should be available, it's legal, and that should be the end of the story, but it's exactly the opposite. Every time it's brought up, I'm a mom and I'm in the cannabis industry. Those are two terms that are just not acceptable. We need to break that because we are professionals. We have a passion for a product. We're developing it. We're innovative. It's just something that really needs to go away.
Absolutely. So you're working on a platform of software that helps with distribution and marketing and inventory. But as soon as somebody says cannabis, it changes the spin on that.
Well, absolutely. Even my experience with top investors, so to speak, and my own personal journey has put me into that space where I can say cannabis is every second word, but somehow the editing comes out and there's no cannabis. It's something that we really just have to take a very strong stand on. And with the development of our platform is to give a dignified space to talk about it, a dignified space to go to consume it. They do all these things and all these things are accessible to other industries, whether it's liquor, whether it's lumber. It doesn't matter. It's all there, but it's missing in cannabis from the start. And that start is the stigma. So without the removing of that stigma, we're never going to be able to move forward and have the acceptance that we rightfully deserve.
Absolutely. And you said they, and so that's likely the regulatory bodies, like liquor license control and then cannabis.
Yes, in reference to that, for sure.
Right. So, and that's still a developing world. And indeed, we've talked about that a little bit before, where there's kind of a vacuum in the regulatory bodies of this thing, and there needs to be more development. And you mentioned you've worked with some of the First Nations groups to help them develop their own strategies. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Well, that was prior to my involvement in the board, but BC Craft Farmers Cooperative, we did work with a Seminole Nation in the Okanagan and help them develop their Sovereign Cannabis Act so they could create their own cannabis industry and engage in their sovereign rights without the government regulatory body telling them how to do it, but doing it the right way. So they took guidance from us and implemented their own cannabis act and regulations. I'm not sure where they're doing today. Perhaps Tara could speak more about it because she was involved with the board at that time. The template is there for any nation that wants to engage in cannabis or hemp for that matter.
Right. And they've got a bit of a sandbox to play in, which sounds like that's the thing that everybody needs to develop. Platform, software platform, or cannabis regulation. Tara, can you tell us anything else about that?
I could speak all day long.
How much time do we have?
One of the cool things that I do want to bring about that collaboration, because it does take a team of everybody working together, you know, to make these things happen, these regulatory changes, all of that kind of thing. So one thing that we all crusade towards, and let's be honest, we're all in this room together, whether you're an advocacy or a processor or joint connections, cannabis is what has brought us all together.
That reminds me of our conversation last night about the legacy movement.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's all spawned from. Yeah. Everything's come up because it's been one of the oldest industries, the strongest industries in British Columbia. And we're known around the world for it.
World renowned. Absolutely. We are known. Yeah. So that's why we're so excited to bring this road trip to everybody.
Yes, to actually have that process, from farm to shelf to consumer. It's amazing.
Right? And it's not just that, it's the culture of it, but the education of it as well, you know, breaking that stigma. And so what is going on with this summit? It's in Prince George, and it's on the notorious date of 420, and it's a two-day event, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's actually a three-day event. It will be featured on April 19th, 20th, and 21st. So the 3 days, so our iconic 420, of course. So what that is a big gathering of everybody in the industry. So whether you're a processor, whether you're a cultivator, whether you're a service provider, or a consumer, right? It is a gathering for everybody. And we take a deep dive into the industry, you know, get to the heart of it. We find solutions. We get connected and find solutions within our industry. We do talk and take in-depth talks of taboo subjects as well that everyone never wants to approach, like the government.
Yeah, they might not want to talk about it. And that might be a stigma that can be broken. And one thing that comes to my mind over and over again is the fiber industry. We can get, what is it, about 120 days to harvest with hemp, whereas a tree is going to take about 80 years. And that right there should tell its own story about how renewable this is in a world that talks about renewable and sustainable development.
That's correct.
So we've got this amazing summit coming up. It's going to be an eye-opener.
It's going to be an experience, really. It's going to take you, the summit itself is going to be an experience from that legacy to where we are now, including, you know, the farmer, through to the shelf and reaching that retailer, right through to the consumer and the curious, even people that just want to know, right into what we're looking to towards the future with our advocacy, with making things right, with taking these walls that the government has put up because they were hesitant. It's new.
Yeah.
Fair or not fair, we all have our opinions. But at the same point, where we're moving forward with that. So the summit is hopefully, the way I look at it, it's going to be a complete envelopment to take anybody and everybody through the experience of legacy, right through from the seed, step through each transaction, learn as you go, and then jump on board with that advocacy if you want to be part of it and be able to make the changes that we absolutely need to just to get on the same level playing field as other industries in our country. We have the global stage. We have the opportunity to represent globally. Other countries are looking at us. They're looking at us for the answers and how to do this. So we have to make sure that we make those right steps. And the summit's a great place to start because wherever you are in the curious or the consumer or on the sector side, this is where you fit in.
And so that will showcase not just the classical, stereotypical Cheech and Chong, hey man.
Yeah.
It'll also show these things like it bridges into textile industries. It's in animal feed. It's in everything. Like, what can you not do with cannabis?
And learning so much more about it, the different stages, all the CBD, CBN, CBG. There's so much.
The medical side of it is incredible. And again, that's a side that's kind of lost a little bit, you know, when you think about the medical end. And we see that with consumers, right? Because that's one thing we want to connect with them, consumers. They all go into the stores, they see the package. Now they get to come meet you. They get to come meet the farmer and meet the people in the industry. So, you know, put a face on that packaging, that sort of thing. So I find that's really interesting as well with the consumers. When we hit on that medical need, a lot of them going into the stores, they're looking for that medical and they can't find it. We're going to bridge that gap again. We're going to bring that highlight back to those using it medically and unlock all them different CBDs and tell the people exactly what CBD is working for that ailment. So that's going to be a really interesting segment.
A big feature on farmers, like our medical farmers like Nadine that are literally going to be their hands-on experience and that kind of involvement and showcasing that, that's the true guts. Beyond everything that you show up and can buy in a retail store, that's the guts. That's where you're going to learn. And that's what the summit offers by having that medical
piece, one of the main keys to everything, and having those farmers being able there to give everybody that experience and give them the answers they need. So.
And educate them. You don't want grandma going home and taking, you know, an edible, and the next thing you know, grandma's, you know, passed out on the couch. Right?
When she's just looking for some, you know, actual joint pain relief.
Exactly. You know, don't for get her arthritis. Yeah, we don't want that confused anymore.
And not looking for THC content on that one.
Right. And a lot of people, they don't want to get high. And that's the stigma, I think, that needs to get broken, because you can talk about salves and balms and CBDs that have awesome therapeutic effects without any sort of what people might refer to as delirious cognitive effects.
And that's the THC, which is the psychoactive component in cannabis. And if you don't activate, the way to activate THC is through heat. So either you light a joint and inhale it, or what we call decarboxylate it, and then you use it in your infused products. If you don't heat the cannabis, you don't activate the THC. You don't activate that psychoactive component, so you get every single benefit of the plant without the high, which some people want the high, which is great. I mean, I like the high too, don't get me wrong. But when you're a medical patient, you look to cannabis because you don't want to be on those opiates. You don't want to be on that fentanyl. You don't want to be on those hard drugs. You need to function. I need to function in my day job, but I have chronic pain. How do I function? I microdose cannabis. As somebody who suffers with chronic pain, it's the CBD and the other cannabinoids that help me throughout the day, not the THC. The THC can worsen sometimes if you're a medical patient who takes cannabis for anxiety. Well, high THC content is not good for somebody with anxiety. Can accelerate, and that's, you know, we call it greening out, or anyways, the other piece, sorry, I wanted to add on to the medical component is harm reduction.
Right.
And harm reduction through safe cannabis supply and high dose edibles in an effort to combat our opiate crisis in this province, in our communities, in our country, all around the world. So that's something that we really are trying to bring to light. We've spoken with our mayor in Prince George. We have a significant problem, as is every other community. Seeing the solution then that cannabis is medicine and cannabis can be a safe answer to the opioid crisis and getting the people clean that want to be clean. You have to want, you know, to get off the hard drugs. Cannabis can provide a way to transition that without the side effects of the withdrawal from the opiates.
Yes. And so that's the therapeutic approach.
Exactly.
And then the harm reduction, like you say, getting people off of these other drugs instead of somebody switching from a hard street drug onto methadone and now they've got a new addiction. We can practice that harm reduction.
Exactly. Right? You replace that methadone with, you know, your certain level. And every patient is different. Everybody has their own absorption rates and tolerances. And so it really is specific. And, you know, us medical growers, we really do have those down and dirty conversations, you know, and sometimes it's trial and error. This might work. And then until you find your dose, your correct dose, and it's life-changing.
Absolutely.
You know?
And instead of having to listen to a pharmaceutical ad that promises relief on something and then goes through a whole series of all the different side effects.
10 pages of side effects.
Right. Yeah. 10 pages of side effects and different drug interactions and complications. Cannabis mostly leads to munchies.
Yes.
But like you say, it can lead to other things. If somebody's predisposed to some sort of psychological condition like schizophrenia, it could exacerbate or bring that out.
Exactly.
And I'm sure there's probably doctors out there that are willing to work with cannabis and their patients. Have you found that yet?
One of the things I'll shed to light is, again, 5 years into legalization. One of the biggest things is the oil for the epileptic children. There's no disputing this anymore. That taboo's out. The genie's out of the bottle. We know it's working for these children. So when you work with great doctors like that, that actually see the benefit of this and they don't stigmatize, and they see these kids are being helped with their seizures, and the relief that I see in them parents' eyes the first night when they get to go to bed, and they've said to me, so-and-so doesn't have to wear his helmet tonight to bed. because that oil is working. Yeah. That oil is taking these seizures away.
That's awesome.
Okay. Now, that's so them really are some point. Of the strong
yeah.
things that drive me in the medical end of it, because let's be honest, cannabis has been used on our planet for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. It's in every medicinal pharmaceutical, whether you're within the Chinese culture for thousands of years, right down to the Egyptians. We've dug it out of the tombs. Cannabis. It's even quoted in the Bible, in case you don't know that.
It might well be one of the best kept secrets ever.
Alive, that, oh, what does cannabis all cure? Right?
Yeah.
And all of our drugs and pharmaceuticals are made from plants. 99.9% of every pharmaceutical drug out there comes from a plant. Very few come from our animal kingdom, and them are usually our venomous animals when we're looking for antidotes.
Right.
So, you know, and when we revert back to what are we growing? A plant.
Right.
The medicine of the world.
Yeah.
Because that's what I see with cannabis.
Yeah. And it so easily is. And seeing that it can.
And no side effects. Oh, Billy needs to go to the fridge for the munchies tonight. It's not such a bad side effect. You know?
Not such a bad side effect at all. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's all about what? Health, happiness, and life.
So there's really a lot of education to do. There's a lot of stigma to break. Some people probably glaze over when you get into the detail. You know, it's like talking to a lab technician. They're speaking Greek. Having a way to present that to people in an easily digestible manner, not just as a gummy, but as a brochure or an event. So there's this tour going up to Prince George for the Cannabis Summit. Stopping along the way, and I think we're going to get a sneak peek of what that looks like, and the interaction at ground level with people in the industry, from retailers to distributors to producers and processors, all the way along, and all the way to the end user, whether it's an epileptic child or grandma who wants some pain relief with arthritis. This thing is working for people, and it's been working for a long time. So I think taking it out of the black market idea and putting it into more of the mainstream in a way that works. But there's sure is a lot of red tape around this thing. Like,
well, that's the problem, too, is that because of the way the government has structured everything, yeah, we need to do more education. We need to get it out there. But unfortunately, we are strongholded and can't do that. It's not like we can put a PBS, a public service announcement out there and say, hey, we want to teach you guys something. I mean, everything has to be behind closed doors in a sense, like marketing, advertising, yes, but even the education and stuff because of the stigma. We can put out ads that say, don't drive high, don't drink high, or don't drink and drive. But, you know, we don't have the opportunity to go beyond that education. We don't get to explain anything at all. So that is the first thing that we need to do, is get on the same page as other industries where we can actually share this, because that's the biggest problem, is it's like a door slammed in your face. Just because you want to educate somebody, just because you want to say, listen, maybe we got it all wrong right from the beginning. This shouldn't have ever been classified a drug.
A Schedule One narcotic,
right.
Which is not.
That's
never
right.
Was.
Never was. And we need to backtrack all of that. It's been around for thousands of years. It was thought of a certain way for a thousand of years. And now we need to knock down the walls that are preventing us from letting that message get through.
Absolutely.
And so that's the step one. And then it's make sure that we're getting that education out. And that's why we do things like the road trip and bring up the legacy and have the summit, and why it's so important, because it really is the only lane we have to take.
It really is. And as much as there might be stigma on cannabis, there's likely stigma on education as well. And like you say, there's doors slammed in your face. But luckily, this is my show, and I can say cannabis as much as
cannabis,
I want.
Cannabis!
And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm really interested to see what kind of people it draws out, the curious minds. And of course, how strong is that stigma? You know, how many Cheech and Chongs are we going to see running around? But how many suits are we going to see there saying, we know that this is the future of fiber in this province? And wow.
Wow.
It's the making of history. It really is.
It sure is.
Yeah.
And we're happy and, you know, honored to be proud of making history.
Absolutely.
Well, and just to point out quickly, this is the only province that this can be done right now. Let's remember that, because direct delivery is not something even optionable in the Canadian cannabis industry, except for here in BC. So we have the opportunity to set this platform and do it right, because, I mean, what farmer doesn't want to sell directly to their client, their customers,
and that's
right?
The way legacy's always been.
So this is going to happen. It's going to happen. People are going to have the option to order from the farm. We're going to have those farm gates. Everything's going to be optionable. So with BC sitting in the place it is, this is the only place where we can start on the island. We can grab that fresh flower and drive it right to any retailer we want. That is not possible anywhere else in our country, or in fact, anywhere else in the world. So this is actually quite a bigger marker than I think mm-hmm. any of us are really giving credit for. Like our province, yeah. what we're doing and what we have the capability to do. And we have to come together, connect, collaborate.
Absolutely.
To make that happen.
We've got to rely on our joint connections.
That's right. Joint connections. That's exactly what we got to do to come together on.
So people like me, the farmer, being able to joint connect with Michelle, the retailer, and consumers.
Right.
We're all joint connected.
We're all joint connected.
So that you get that fresh off the farm.
Oh my God, it's so fresh.
From farm to shelf to consumer. That's the way it should be.
And that's the way that it has always been.
Yep.
So finding a way through that process of red tape and government bureaucracy and through to the hearts of people that know that it's already there, and breaking that stigma and the fear of stigmatization if they move to adopt it as well. It's a safe space for consumption. It's a safe space for medicine. It's a safe place for kids too.
Yep.
For everybody.
Yep.
Well, I'm pretty stoked. I think we're going to see this thing really take off. I'm super stoked for the caravan, because that's going to be coming through.
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, on the way up to Prince George on the 18th, I do believe, of April.
I'll be leaving Victoria on the 18th. Cool. Of April.
So I'm hoping that everybody can take the hint to stay tuned and get tuned in this. Thanks so much for having me over here, ladies. This is really great.
Thanks so much. Thank you. I appreciate it.
And one more time. Cannabis.
Cannabis.
Cannabis. Cannabis.